welcome to this week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon from End Screen Media is with me. And you're back in the office now, aren't you, Colin?
I am indeed, and I'll be sticking around here for this week at least. And then I'm off on my travels again, going to New York for a conference there and London for another conference the week after. But anyway, I'm here this week. So we have some interesting topics to talk about this week. We have the Land of the Giants. I think we're entering the Land of the Giants, aren't we, in our business?
Yeah, the land of the even bigger giants, one might say. First up this week, we want to talk about Comcast and Sky and Hulu and Disney. Of course, over the weekend, Comcast won the bidding to acquire Sky, topping Disney with a $39 billion bid. CNBC is now reporting that Comcast may be looking to swap its 30% ownership stake in Hulu back to Disney as part of a deal for Disney to sell the 39% stake it has in Sky to Comcast. Now, FT actually reported that a deal has already been reached for Disney to sell that 39% stake, but there was no mention of what Comcast is going to do with Hulu. And I wrote this week about basically contemplating this question of whether, in fact, Comcast should divest its 30% stake in Hulu to Disney or whether it should hang on to it. And I would argue that it's actually a pretty complicated decision. It seems as though Comcast wants to get rid of the stake, at least if you believe the CNBC reporting. Certainly, the stake is now in a non-controlling situation for Comcast because Disney owns 60% of Hulu via the via their Fox acquisition. And at the same time, of course, Hulu lost almost $1 billion last year, and Comcast is partly funding that loss. So it's a little bit of an unusual situation for Comcast to find itself in. But on the other hand, as I wrote, Comcast, by virtue of its 30% share, now has essentially a front row seat to all that Hulu is doing. And if it were to divest, it would be giving up its front row seat. And in many ways, I think what Hulu is doing is that it's involved in basically every major theme in the industry. So think about Hulu as a huge SVOD provider with over 20 million subscribers. It's also now a vMVPD or skinny bundle with its live service. It's also one of the leading providers of OTT service to connected TVs, which, as we discussed last week, is by far the fastest growing device on which to watch OTT content. Hulu has said that 80% of its consumption is on CTVs. And finally, Hulu also has probably the most experience in selling hybrid subscription ad-supported SVOD services and really trying to innovate what the TV ad model is all about. So I think Comcast sort of recognized the value of being in that front row seat with Hulu's operations when they appointed three of their most senior executives to Hulu's board just a couple of weeks ago. Jeff Shell, who's the chairman of Universal, Lindy Acquirino, who's the chairman of advertising at NBC Universal, and Matt Bond, who's the chairman of content distribution at NBC Universal. So those are some pretty senior executives to put on the Hulu board. And I think that, again, illustrates the great learning potential that's there. If Comcast were to divest the Hulu stake, they lose that front row seat and all the learnings that go with it. And as you and I have discussed in the past, in the Q2 report from Comcast, they conceded that they were losing video subscribers to skinny bundles, but their response to it was not very aggressive. And so here they have an opportunity with Hulu to really learn and maybe educate themselves about how they could be more competitive with their video service. So it's an interesting position that Comcast finds itself in. I, of course, was recommending that they actually acquire Hulu lock, stock, and barrel. They didn't do that. They chose instead to spend the $39 billion on Sky. But I do think that it would be beneficial for them to hang on to the stake. But I'm not sure how it's going to sort out that way. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not sure it's going to sort out that way either. Well, I like you, I sort of am conflicted with the deal on both sides, Will. I got to say, you know, Hulu is very, very well run. 20 million subscribers, 1 million live subscribers. Growing very well, thank you very much. It has 3 out of the 4 business models. As you said, the only thing it doesn't do now is it doesn't do free ad-supported, which I would actually like to have seen them continue to do, but they've just chosen not to do it. But I think the biggest problem for Comcast is that, yeah, it gives them a front row seat, but, you know, it's a passenger seat. It's not a driver seat. So they really don't get to influence the direction in which that service is going. And there are pluses and minuses on both sides, Will. I think if Comcast, well, let's assume that Comcast is going to go ahead and divest itself of its 30% interest in Hulu, which seems very likely now. That puts Disney in a difficult position, because somehow they have to find, I think they have to find a way to keep NBC on board with their content. And the reason is very simple. I think the way people feel and use Hulu is almost like an extended DVR. They can jump on Hulu and they can watch the latest shows from the 3 out of the 4 major networks. And it's, you know, they can choose to watch ad-free or with ads, however they want, at a pretty reasonable price in the first instance, without subscribing to the live service. And I think the reason that Hulu is doing so well is because it does have so much of the most recent television content. If it were to lose 1/3 of that, I think that would make a serious dent in its ability to attract subscribers and retain subscribers. So I think it will be very serious indeed for Hulu were it to lose NBCU's content. So that is going to be a major juggling act, particularly if Comcast decides to sell out and get out of Hulu completely. So I don't know, that seems to me to be the major challenge ahead for Disney in all of this. Yeah, they could sure use the cash, but you know, I think Hulu's NBC's participation in Hulu is far more important to it in the long run. As you know, I've said in the past, I believe that Hulu is very, very important to Disney's future. I think it's going to help, it's going to act as a bridge for consumers as they move gradually from regular distribution models through pay television to online distribution models. And Hulu acts as this cushion, this nexus where they can come and get a pretty similar experience to traditional pay TV, but also get the new online experience and enjoy the benefits of that. And that's a great place, I think, for Disney to start educating them on other Disney properties, like this upcoming service which will hit us next year, and ESPN Plus, which by the way is also doing very well, but could use some leverage through Hulu. So I don't know how they're going to do that, but they need to figure it out some way, I think.
Yeah, it's a tough one, I think. I mean, I certainly echo what you said about Disney benefiting from Hulu. No question about that. I think the real question is, what does Comcast do? It's a tricky one here. And one thing we haven't yet talked about is the fact that taking on Sky represents a whole new challenge for Comcast itself. And so if it's going to really focus on making one thing successful and having, of course, the full controlling interest in Sky is probably where it wants to put its resources, right?
I think that's probably true. Yeah. And you know, there's a lot to be learned from Sky as well. Although, as you said in your piece, I think you mentioned the fact that you've got to be careful because it doesn't all translate. It is in a different market. And the reason I think the most interesting service, the most interesting approach taken by Sky, which I think Comcast should really pay attention to, is what they did with their Now TV service. So Now TV is Sky's standalone online service. and I think they launched it in 2013. I think that's when they originally launched Now TV. And the reasoning behind their launch, Will, was very interesting. They recognized that pretty much everybody in the UK who wanted Sky had it under the current terms. And they were a bit frustrated because they were having trouble breaking the $10 million subscriber barrier. In fact, there's 27 million homes in the UK. So, you know, that's a pretty deep penetration when you think about it. But they were really having trouble continuing to grow, and they were looking for ways to get some of those people who hadn't come to come. And they really took, I thought, a pretty radical step. They said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put some of our assets online in this Now TV thing, and we're going to offer it to consumers a la carte without any commitment whatsoever. And there was a lot of worry at the time that they would see cannibalization, where consumers who were locked into Sky today for that content would quit and start using Now TV and to try to save money. Now, we can argue about whether that actually happened or not, but the net of this at the end of it is that today, when you look at the total number of customer relationships, Sky now has more than they had back when Now TV launched in 2013. So I think it's been a net positive for them. The interesting thing is that they've really experimented with the business model. So one of the biggest things on Sky is Sky Sports. They have 10 Sky Sports channels, and they have rights to Premier League, which of course is very, very popular in the UK and in many other places, I should add, even in the US. And so what they did was that they allowed people, if you want to, with Now TV, you can buy one day access to Sky Sports so that you can watch that soccer game that you want to watch without making a full commitment to satellite. You can just pay I think it's £6 for one day's access, and away you go, and you can start watching. You can also buy access for a week or for a month, and there are different prices for that. I can tell you that if you do want to get a month, and you stay subscribed for a length of time, it is definitely worth your while just subscribing to Sky Satellite. But, you know, I think that's not the type of customer they're expecting to really commit to Now TV. And as I say, these different business models have helped to engage more deeply with the British public than it was able to with simply the traditional big bundle television, satellite television model that it had been bringing to market for two decades. So I think that this model, this idea, is something that I'd really like to see Comcast come to market with. Maybe not in quite the same way, because they don't have the same rights that Sky has. But that said, they have complete ownership of all NBCU content, so there's a lot they can do there. They have their regional sports networks, which are also very popular, so there's a lot they can do there too. And I bet if they put a service together, there'd be at least some television channels that come along with them. So I'm hoping they're paying attention a lot to Now TV, and I hope they bring that idea over to the US.
Well, so that's the question, what you just touched on at the end, Colin, that I had, is the rights question. My impression is that Sky must have had very flexible rights abilities when it came to the, particularly sports, what they could offer on Now TV and the different flexible ways that you just outlined. I don't know that Comcast has those types of rights here in the U.S.,
No, and that's why I'm sort of very careful to say they cannot duplicate what Sky has done exactly, because they don't have the same rights with the channels that they have on their regular television service. But, you know, Sky doesn't have full rights to all of the 10 television channels. It only has rights to its channels that it licenses content for. And I guess my point is that Comcast has that too. They have a set of rights now First of all, coming from NBCU, and second of all, coming from regional sports networks, that's a place to build. And I've got a feeling if they were to put together an interesting service around that content, that they would be able to attract some of the other providers that are already working with them on traditional pay TV. Now, they're not going to get CBS. They're probably not going to get ABC and Fox. But that's notwithstanding that, CBS has been able to build a very good business with CBS All Access that is still growing, with I think less content than NBCU and Comcast has access to. So I think there's a lot they can do there, and looking at Now TV and using that model to do it could be a great way to go.
Now, there's another piece of Now TV, if I understand correctly, which is that they provide their own connected device, right? They have their own little sort of miniature set-top box, don't they?
They certainly do. And it is based, it's a white labeled Roku. And they actually, funnily enough, they just released two new devices. One of them is a streaming stick. And the other one is an upgraded Roku with 4K access. And they just added Netflix on that box. They hadn't allowed Netflix on that box before. And I like this model for Sky, and I think it could work equally well for Comcast, because it gives Comcast more control over the services that are provided through that box. Now, you know, you could argue, well, it should be completely open and all of that. They could choose to do that with a Roku box. But having a box like that and selling it to consumers for the service, it helps the consumers because it makes it easy for them to move to this new model. And it's good for them because it allows them more control, and they can give a better experience and more Comcast-like experience, I think, to the overall feel of the service. So I think it could work. I think it could work equally well over here.
So it would be another departure, though, for Comcast, that they've been selling the X1, trying to get subscribers interested in the X1 set-top box, which we both know is a big box, $20 a month with DVR. Here you're talking about much lighter weight type of equipment, really all IP. For connected TV type applications. So another departure, if you will.
Not really for them. I mean, Will, they're already there, right? You can actually, if you want, you can get a Roku and put Xfinity Client on a Roku and not have the X1 set-top box at all, if you want to, as a Comcast customer. So they're already there. I think it's no stretch at all for Xfinity. I think they're, you know, it's relatively easy for them to move to take control of what's available in that box and create a white labeled version and ship it to customers that need help getting online.
Right. I guess that was the distinction, is Comcast doing the equivalent of a white label Roku, as you say, Now TV has done. That's not something they've done here to date.
No.
They've made it available. They've made X1 Xfinity available as an app on Roku, but they haven't actually shipped those types of devices under their own brand.
That's right.
But it's not a stretch. Yeah. To your point, it's certainly not a stretch to see them doing such a thing.
Not at all. Now, do I think it's key to the success of a, quote, Now TV for Comcast? I'm not sure it's absolutely key. I think they can also launch a branded service called Now TV that runs on other devices if they want to. But, circling the wagons around a Now TV box for the U.S. market could be a really good strategy for the company.
Yeah, you're much more familiar with Now TV than I am. But I think it's fascinating to think about what they could do to bring some of those best practices over here. And then, of course, they want to bring their own U.S. best practices over to Sky as well. So lots of moving pieces here in this Comcast, Sky, Now TV. Throw in Hulu and Disney and Fox to the situation as well.
It certainly is. It certainly is a messy, messy world, isn't it? With all of the purchasing and consolidation that's going on in that, certainly in the premium markets. But I think this, we should have expected this. We were expecting this, and We're seeing it with AT&T and Time Warner, and I got a feeling we're probably not done. I think the pieces will move on the board some more.
I think you're probably right, and I think we're also out of time for today. So great conversation as always. I
enjoyed it, Will.
And thanks, everybody, for listening in on this week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. And we'll see you all again next week.